morning. Nice to see you this morning. And I'm glad you're here because I need your help. Our children's message today is about a mystery person, and I need help figuring out who it is. And I got some letters, and so we got a little bit of a test today, too. You remember your letters, so it's a good thing over the summer we practice our letters and our reading and our math and stuff. What's our first letter here? F. There you go. That's an F. And I'm going to set it down here so we can kind of see this as we go along. Sorry you don't see it, but follow along. Questions will be asked at the end. F stands for forgiving. And this person, this mystery person, is very forgiving. If we make a mistake, if we disobey this person, though they may be angry with us for a while, and they may be disappointed in us, they will be forgiving to us as well and still love us. Second letter I have is, oh, I know you're going to get this one.
A.
A. I know. A? Aiden and Ayla? A stands for attentive. And that's when we talk to this person, they listen. They pay attention to us, and they follow us, and they watch us in our games, and they support us, and they help us in the good times and the bad. And the next letter is
T.
T stands for teacher. Because this mystery person teaches us the most important things in life. That is to be good, to be a follower of God, and to include God in all that we do. This person teaches us right and wrong, and teaches us by example as well. Let's see. So far, it spells fat. Do you think I'm talking about Fats Domino? Do you know who that is? You guys know him? You don't have to come. Did you ever hear of Strawberry Hill? Okay, next one. What's this? H. You guys are good with your letters. Okay. H stands for helpful. And this person, this mystery person, is always helpful to us. And they may offer advice, but they're also a good listener. And they help us, once again, in good times and bad, and can help us become a real good person as we grow up. Next one is
E.
E. That's an E. That's right. And it also stands for today's message, energetic. And this person, no matter how tired they may be, they're energetic, and they will get out and play with us and just, you know, spend time and follow us along. And our last letter,
R.
And R stands for ready. And this person is ready to reach out to us, to show us their love, their support, their guidance. They're always there. Now, you know what that spells right there? You probably had this real quick because of the special day it is. It's Father's Day, isn't it? And that spells father. And whether it be a real father or a stepfather, a father-in-law, maybe a person that is real close to you and loves you like a father and that you love like a father, or maybe our Heavenly Father. This person is always there for us. And we can be very thankful that we have a special day to remember that person. Ileana? There's no O in this one. Not today. Maybe we'll have another one with an O in it. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for our fathers. Help us this day to show our love and appreciation to all of our fathers. and that we may always remember to thank you, our Heavenly Father, in all that you have done for us. In this we pray, amen.
The first part of the chapter of Hebrews, the first part of Hebrews chapter 3.
Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house, as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end.
This is the word of God for we the people of God. Let us say, thanks be to God. You may be seated. And this summer we are affirming what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. So join me in our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. It's great to be here with you today. And we've started our series in the book of Hebrews as we celebrate and honor and explore the significance for our present lives of the now ascension of Jesus, that Jesus is resurrected and ascended as the Lord of heaven and earth. As we just said, he sits at the right hand of the Father Almighty. Amen? Amen. We've learned that God first spoke to us through many ways, through the prophets, to our ancestors, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, whom he appointed all heir of all things. See, God is our Father in heaven. God is our Creator. And his Son, Jesus, is the firstborn of the new creation. He's revealed of what humanity was meant to be in the first place. And he's appointed heir of all things. And it's through Jesus, the living Word, whom he created the worlds. That Jesus is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprints of God's very being. And it's through Jesus that he sustains all things in this world and in our lives by his powerful Word. Because when Jesus made purification for our sins, and we're going to learn more about that this summer, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. A good father has a great inheritance for his children. And we have an eternal inheritance in Jesus Christ. Amen? A heavenly inheritance. We've learned last week that we are called by the author of Hebrews to therefore pay greater attention, to be vigilant to what we have heard. That is, so we can obey it, so that we do not drift away from it. Because we can hear the good news of God and Jesus Christ. We can hear the truth of eternal life for us. But we can drift away. We can fall away. We can get offended. One of my former professors that taught preaching, the late Ellsworth Callis, a great preacher, he said that we, like sheep, we just nibble ourselves away until we realize that we're lost. Just a little here, a little there. But we must pay greater attention to what we've heard in the gospel so we don't drift away from it. Because the author told us last week, if the message declared through angels is valid and every transgression or disobedience received the just penalty, that is from the Old Testament law, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation. That's a big problem, isn't it? That it's one thing to transgress the law in the Old Testament that had God's justice and had legal penalties for that, even the death penalty for some things. But how much more greater if we receive the greater revelation in Jesus Christ and His gospel, that He is the law fulfilled in the flesh, if we neglect the teachings of Jesus, or we neglect the very person of Jesus by living in a way that we don't really think we have eternal life, or living in a way that shows that we are losing faith. And so it said in Hebrews 2:10, it was fitting that God, for whom and through all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of our salvation perfect through sufferings. The one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. And that's why Jesus isn't ashamed to say in the company of heaven, Father, here are the children whom you gave to me. That's what he wants to say about you and I, about his disciples. He suffered for us so that when we are tested, we can be strengthened, because he suffered what we are being tested by and he overcame it. So when we're tempted, remember that Jesus is always your way out. Amen? So here we are today. We know that Jesus tasted death for us, and that through death he destroyed the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, so that we would not be in slavery to the fear of death or in sin anymore. And so we now are holy. Let's go to Hebrews 3. We are holy partners, brothers and sisters. Can you imagine that? You are holy partners with the Creator of the universe, with the Savior of the world, with the Lord of heaven and earth. You are heavenly partners with a heavenly calling in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the sent apostle or envoy of God, sent to us to show us how to live and to save us on earth. But also he is our heavenly high priest of our confession of faith. Amen? Because we're saved not by our works. We're saved by faith in Jesus, right? We're saved by grace. It's a gift of God. The gift of God in Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith. And when we're tempted to fall away, when we're tempted to be offended, when we're tempted to try to take our lives in our own hands, that's when we can fall away. And it's very subtle. It's subtle to the point where we start to live our lives, even as Christians, as though we're trying to save ourselves again, or we're trying to prove ourselves to God. But Jesus proved his love for us. He proved God's love for us when he died on the cross for us. The one thing that we couldn't do, we couldn't save ourselves. So why do we sometimes live our lives like we're still trying to save ourselves, or we're still trying to be good enough for God? Jesus came to show us that God loves us in spite of us. And that's why he said, Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, was faithful to the one appointed him. Just as Moses was faithful in all God's house, because Moses was an apostle sent by God. He prayed for the people, but he wasn't the great high priest. His brother Aaron was the first great high priest in Israel. But Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. Just as the builder of a house is more honor than the house itself. Every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. And Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant. See, Moses had a job to do. He was a servant of God. And it's easy for us to just think of ourselves as a servant. But when you have faith in Jesus Christ, we are hidden in Christ. So we're not just servants in God's household in Christ. No. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house. And we're not talking about a house like a building. We're talking about a dynasty. We're talking about a family. We're talking about an eternal bloodline, spiritual bloodline. That Jesus is the firstborn of the new creation. He's the one who gets the Father's inheritance. He's the one who gets the whole kingdom of heaven and earth. And he wants to share that. He wants us to be partners with him in the new heavens and the new earth and the kingdom of God. He wants you and I to be his partners and to share that inheritance. Because he is faithful over God's house as a son. And here's the good news. Let's say this together. Verse 6. And we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belong to hope. Let's say that one more time. We are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belong to hope. That's some great news. He didn't want to build a building. He wanted to build a people. He was going to build us, his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Amen? Amen. We are his house. But here's the catch. Whenever you read the Bible and you see a statement that says if, that's always a statement of condition. Always look for that then that it's attached to or the what relates to that. So here it says, so the then would be we are his house. But the if or the condition is if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belong to hope. So if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belongs to hope in Christ, then we are his house. Now let's go on. This is from Psalm 95. It's in Hebrews 3, 7. Let's say this together. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors put me to the test, though they had seen my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation. And I said, they always go astray in their hearts. They have not known my ways. As in my anger, I swore, they will not enter my rest. God has infinite grace and love for us in Jesus Christ. But God has a patience and a long suffering that if he's put to the test, eventually, God is going to draw a boundary, that God is going to say no, that God is going to say enough to stop us from hurting one another or hurting ourselves. And so what happened back in the time of Moses when they were wandering in the desert, they started to complain. And this is in, it was in Deuteronomy. It was in Deuteronomy 20 and in Exodus 32. And what they did was they complained and they said, has God abandoned us? Is God really with us here? Are we just on our own? They were losing faith. And this was after they'd already made the golden calf. This is after they complained after God gave them the manna and they wanted meat, so God fed them with quail until they were gorged. It was after all that that God had done for them, all these miracles where God had fought armies even on their behalf. And they still complained, and they lost faith, and they thought, has God abandoned us? Are we just on our own? We want to go back to Egypt, where they were slaves. But they were under a different order. They wanted to go back to life in the empire. They wanted to go back to the way they were living before. And so God called that place Meribah because their hearts had hardened. And God told Moses to say, you need to show them that I'm still their God. And take your staff and put it in the water and then strike the rock. And then water came out of the rock at this place. But this was the place where they tested God. Where they said, where God says in Psalm 95, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As the day of testing in the wilderness where your ancestors put me to the test. They saw my works for 40 years. And so God was angry not just with a certain group of people, but with an entire generation. Now look around you. Do you see a wicked generation in the world around us? Remember in Acts when Peter gave that sermon and they said, what must we do to be saved? He says, baptize, you know, repent and believe the gospel. Be baptized in the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Spirit, the promise for you, for your children, and all those whom God calls to you. And save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And so when God said they weren't going to enter his rest because they go astray in their hearts, only two people got to live and survive, Caleb and Joshua, who gave a good report as spies. Everybody else, even Moses, because Moses was disobedient at one point, Moses couldn't even enter the promised land. They would not enter into his rest because they went astray in their hearts. Jesus warned us that people are going to go astray. In Matthew 24, when Jesus is talking about, the disciples are asking about the end of the world. They said, tell us, when will this be? What will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? And Jesus answered them, beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And you'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. In other words, see that your faith is not shaken. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines and earthquakes in various places. And all this is the beginning of the birth pangs. We see a lot of that today, don't we? Wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and crazy unprecedented weather and flooding. And unprecedented wickedness in the modern era. New inventive ways of being wicked and transgressing God's law. But Jesus said, they will hand you over to be tortured and will put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And then he says this, then many will fall away. That means they go astray in their hearts. They will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved, he says. But he says, beware that you will not be led astray. Many will be led astray. There's a fancy term for that in theology called apostasy. It means the turning away from God. And brothers and sisters, I wonder if we're living in the midst of that great apostasy. Because when I looked in the Greek back at that passage, I learned something new I hadn't learned before. The word in Greek for that word to mean to go astray or to fall away is scandalizo, which is where we get the word scandalize. How many of you heard that word? You know, a scandal, it's scandalize. Well, to scandalize means to offend someone or to be offended. Now think about our current culture. Even think about the church. We live in this politically correct world right now where everyone's offended about everything, even in the church. There are Christians who are saying to their brothers and sisters in the faith that you're not a real Christian like I am. And what you say or what you believe offends me. And I don't even want to be associated with you anymore. We're all offended. We're all getting divided by the enemy. We're believing this lie that we're warring against flesh and blood when really we're supposed to war against those spiritual powers and principalities and wicked high places. That's what Jesus conquered for us on the cross and through his resurrection. And that's what he's praying to protect us against, to deliver us from evil. So we need to be aware that when our hearts go astray, we can get offended, we can get bitter. We can start to get hardened in our hearts, start to be less forgiving or even unforgiving. That's where the real danger is, even before we sin outwardly. It's when we go astray in our hearts, when we don't remember, we don't observe God's ways. And so I want you to hear this. Jump down to Hebrews 3, 6, 15. Today, if you hear his voice, which is good news because we can hear God's voice, don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion. And what it says in that next part is that those who rebellious, it was those who sinned. And then they died in the wilderness. And it was those who were disobedient. That means that they knew God's law and they did the other thing anyways. When they knew it was wrong and they did it anyways, they openly rebelled. And so that warning in verse 19 is, so we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief. Their unbelief. And so jump back to Hebrews 3:12. This is the good news for us. Let's say this together. Take care, brothers and sisters, that none of you may have an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. It says, take care. That's an imperative. It means to fix your thoughts on Jesus. It means to watch over one another in love so that none of you may have an evil that is a self-centered, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God or is offended at the gospel or offended at God's people. Let's read verse 13. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We've heard before, whenever you see "so that" in the Bible, that means it's a statement of purpose. So the "so that" is so we aren't hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And the thing we need to do is we need to exhort or encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. We need to visit one another. We need to call one another. We need to hold each other. We need to love one another as Christ has loved us. Amen? Amen. And here's the good news. Let's say 14 together to close. For we have become partners of Christ if only we hold our first confidence firm to the end. What is your confidence today? Or your first confidence? Think about that time when you realized, maybe for the first time or even today, that God loves you. That Christ died for you. That God has a plan for your life in Jesus Christ. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit so that Christ can live in you and people can experience the love of Jesus Christ in and through you and with you. And you can start to experience that kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven come to earth in your life today. Think about that. It's through faith in Jesus. Humble, naked faith. That's all we really have, is faith in God and in His Word and in His Holy Spirit. That faith will work through you in Jesus Christ. And so